Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts, give us ears to hear, speak to us this morning. I pray that you'd speak to each and every person here this morning the word that you want specifically for them to hear. Bless us with your presence, transfigured, glorious Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm really good at not listening. Since I was young, I've had this gift. It comes in handy when you're a child and your parents say something to you like, "Clean your room." I refined this skill in college. I was writing sports for the Michigan Daily newspaper, covering hockey. And that was back in the era when we had union employees that were typesetting hard copy of the paper before it went to the presses. And the story had to be done, edited, and typeset before midnight, or else we'd be paying overtime. And that created tremendous pressure on those of us covering late-night sporting events, and hockey games often ended late. And so I had to really learn to tune out what was going on around me in a noisy newsroom or at a hockey arena as I was trying to write that story. I find that as I grow older, a couple of other things have helped my skill of not listening. Sometimes I simply don't have the time to stop and listen. My all too often crazy busy schedule has me on the run, making it hard to find time to slow down and be in the moment. Even when I find time to sit and listen, I have so many things on my mind. I can easily become preoccupied. It's easy for my mind to wander to all those things that have to get done or that next sermon I'm working on. How are you at not listening? Sometimes I wonder if we really listen to each other at all anymore. I hear the media and politicians, and I hear them talking, and I wonder if they really want to listen to anyone but themselves. But of course, it is important to listen to one another. That's how we grow in our relationships, building strong relationships of love. I find in my own life that listening's not a skill that comes naturally to me. I have to work at it. I've learned so well over the years not to listen. It's natural not to listen. It takes work to learn to listen, to really focus. I actually work really hard every day at being a good listening pastor. I have to carve out time to be with people and hear their stories and be in the moment. I've learned that listening involves more than merely listening to the words that someone is speaking. There's body language, there's tone of voice, there's context. The better you know someone, the more likely you'll understand them. There was a time when I was learning pastoral care as a chaplain in a hospital when I was in seminary, and a patient who had pneumonia asked me if I knew the difference between bacterial pneumonia and viral pneumonia. I told him what my understanding was of those two diseases. I realized later he wasn't really asking that. He had pneumonia. His father had died from pneumonia. I was a chaplain. I wasn't his physician. He wanted to talk about something much more profound than merely a diagnosis. Listening requires time, attention, and focus, which I think is all too difficult in the world in which we live. Thank you for hearing my confession this morning about my challenges with listening. I suspect there are some of you here this morning who can relate. We live in a busy world. Our lives are chock full of activities. We zip through the blur of our days, and there is so much to distract us. There are encyclopedias of information that are coming at us from all corners. And we hold the world's greatest distraction ever, right in the palm of our hands, those smartphones. Great tools, but they can be such a temptation to distraction. The disciples seemed to be pretty good at not listening as well. They were with Jesus 24/7 for 3 years, and still they didn't get it. They missed who he was. He told them he was going to be killed and rise in 3 days, but that remarkable piece of information didn't sink in. He told them by what he said and by what he did that he was the Son of God. But again and again, their focus is on the problem at hand and their own resources, a storm, lack of food for the masses, a difficult illness, rather than trusting Jesus and listening to him. In today's gospel reading, Peter, James, and John witness a remarkable moment, a moment when the glory of the Son of God is revealed to them. They see him as he truly is, but Peter still seems to not be listening to anything other than his own ideas when he suggests building three booths and putting Jesus on equal footing with Moses and Elijah, which at that point Peter thought might have been elevating Jesus. But it was, in fact, of course, lowering the Son of God. And then God the Father comes to them in the cloud. You will remember that it was a cloud that descended on Mount Sinai when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. It was a cloud that would descend on the Tent of Meeting when Moses would go and speak with God face to face. And so this cloud envelops the disciples, and God speaks, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." It was important for the apostles, but it is still important for all disciples to listen to him. When we don't listen and go off on our own way, listening to our own solutions, listening to our own inner noise, there is such great danger that we'll get off track. Moreover, we may miss the presence of Jesus with us and his unmatched potential to bring the power of God into our situation. But even more than that, just as when we fail to listen to a fellow human being, how that short circuits our relationship with that person, when we don't listen to God, we shut ourselves off from relationship with him. We all know that good communication is essential in any close relationship. There is this loving relationship that you hear in what God the Father says. This is my son. It's like a term of endearment. My dear son. The proud parent is saying, look at my son. Look at how amazing he is. He has the resources of heaven, the power of God, the Trinitarian family present in him. So listen to him. Even despite all my challenges with listening, when one of my sons calls, I try extra hard to stop everything, remove the distractions, and focus on the call, not letting my mind wander. It takes effort, but it's effort that I'm glad to make because I love them. When it's your own son, you make all the more effort to listen. We will work extra hard to listen to the people we love. So let me ask you this morning, do you love God? Do you want a relationship with him? If your answer is yes, then it is essential that you listen to him out of love for God. Because we desire to grow in relationship to God, we too must hear this call from the Father. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Not ask for things, not tell him your diagnosis, not follow his good moral teachings. Those are all fine things. But listen. The word for us this morning is a call not just to talk to God, but to listen. It's a call to relationship. It's a call to two-way communication. It's a wonder, really, that God wants a relationship with us. But that is who God is. Time and again throughout history, God has spoken and called people to listen. In many ways, the Bible is merely a history of God speaking to people. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham listened and set out on a journey, even though he didn't know where he was going. Moses spoke with God as one would speak with a friend. God spoke through the prophets. God spoke to Gideon, Samson, the boy Samuel, and Balaam through his donkey. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, to Mary through an angel. Jesus spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus, and he became Paul the apostle. The great wondrous truth is that God delights in speaking to us, and he loves it when we listen to him. In fact, he calls us to listen. Jesus says in John chapter 12 that he's the good shepherd and that his sheep will listen to his voice. In Jeremiah 7, God says, I spoke persistently, but you did not listen. I don't have time this morning to quote every place in Scripture where God calls upon people to listen to him, but you will find such verses in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, in Micah, and Amos. And remember how Jesus in the Gospels time and time again said, let the one who has ears to hear listen. Devotional writer Oswald Chambers said this about prayer. We look upon prayer simply as a means of getting things for ourselves, but the biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. God speaks to his people still today. Do you believe that? Why should God tell people over and over again throughout history to listen as he speaks to them? Why would he command the disciples to listen to Jesus, his son? Why would Jesus say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and say his sheep will listen to his voice? Why would God do all that speaking, calling people to listen time and time again, and then suddenly stop? What if he hasn't stopped? What if he speaks to people still? What if we don't hear God speaking to us as often as in biblical times because we're too busy? We're too distracted to notice. What if we don't hear because we aren't really listening? What if our secular scientific worldview discourages us from allowing for the possibility that God could speak to us, so we don't listen while all the while he's speaking? What a sad thing it would be to miss what the wisest teacher, the greatest healer, the most remarkable person who ever lived, Jesus, is saying to us, because we're too preoccupied with our own stuff and we're not open to the possibility. What a sad thing to miss out on a relationship with the living God, all because we do not heed the Father's voice from the cloud. This is my Son. Listen to him. Yes, I am suggesting that you, any of us here this morning, if you make the time and seek to hear from God, he will speak to you. Specifically, directions, guidance, words of comfort, challenge, and assurance. Yes, I am suggesting God can subjectively speak to you. He can speak through various means. Sometimes you might hear him as if speaking words deep within you. He can also speak through dreams, images, ideas, circumstances, in the voices of other people, and in Scripture. God is a God who still speaks and calls us to listen. How are you doing at listening to Jesus? What might he be saying to you even now, this morning? I want to close by sharing something of my own experience and then offer you a challenge. Every week, as I prepare a sermon, I read the scriptures, I look at the commentaries, and I think. But then I pray, and I wait. And I wait until I sense something from the Lord prompting me in a direction. And sometimes I get that quickly, and other times it seems to take a very long time. But God is so good. Time and again, I sense him directing me to highlight certain things, to use a specific story or illustration, and impress. Sometimes he impresses certain words on me from a passage. I'm sure I get it wrong sometimes, but it is my prayer and my intention to listen for a word from the Lord for you each week. And I must tell you, this sermon is no exception. I've been inspired to raise this issue of listening prayer with you. And even as I prepared, I sensed God putting on my heart, especially those words of endearment this morning, with such loving affection as he says, "This is my Son." I felt prompted to challenge you with listening to God. This whole concept of listening, God put on my heart when I attended the Alpha Conference a few weeks ago. So I heard the remarkable experiences of people who did hear from God in prayer and also saw incredible answers to prayer. Last week on study leave at Fuller Seminary, I did some research on listening prayer and contemplative prayer. And God reminded me of something I knew. And he challenged me not just to let my prayers throughout the week slip into one-way conversation where I'm offering up my laundry list of concerns to God and not taking the time to stop and listen. God is challenging me, just as I do with those sermons every week, throughout the week, day in, day out, to make the time to listen. And so I'm sharing that challenge with you. And I do have a challenge for you this Lent. I'm challenging you to join me in this adventure, in carving out time and place and sitting in the presence of God alone to listen. I'm inviting you to join me in making a concerted effort this Lent to listen to God in prayer. I didn't come up with this term, but I've co-opted it. I invite you to try and experiment with me this Lent. I'm inviting you to try and experiment in listening prayer. There's an insert in your bulletin this morning explaining the challenge. We're going to also email it out this week. It involves setting aside time each day to pray and to listen, and I have very practical instructions for you on how you can do this. They come from the ancient practice of contemplative prayer. This is a way of focusing and listening to God. And I'm challenging you this Lent to not stop your prayer time after you've asked God for all those things, but to continue by making the time to be still and sit and listen for what God might want to say. I believe that in doing this, just in renewing our efforts to listen to God, to practice listening prayer, I believe God will richly bless us. I am firmly convinced that if you do this in some way, shape, or form, God will speak to you specifically and directly. And so with an experiment or in some other way that you may choose, will you listen to the voice of God from the cloud echoing through the ages to us here this morning? Let us all clear the clutter from our lives, quiet the inner noise, be still, and heed the words of the Father. This is my Son. Listen to him. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.